You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today is April 1st, 2018. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Happy Easter to you, happy Passover to you, and then happy April Fool's Day to you as well. Wow, we have a lot of holidays going on in the same week. It's a lot to take in. I wish you all the happiest of all three, and whichever ones you do celebrate, I hope everything went well for you and it was a good time. So, a lot of stuff going on in the wet shaving world that we want to talk about, so we'll get right into it. First thing we're going to talk about is a new Mongoose razor that just came out. It's available at Maggard's, just came out. Last week, it is a design that's been, I would say, probably in the works for about a year or so since I found out about it. But it's great to see it on the market, and I can't wait to see some reviews, so we'll talk about that first. We'll also discuss replicating razors and if it's right or wrong. Now, there's been a lot of discussion regarding this in the last few weeks with Chinese companies coming out and replicating designs and making them for cheaper and stuff. We'll talk about that as well in the cast. A lot of information. I've been looking a lot about this and thinking a lot about it. And, well, there's a lot of pros and cons for both companies, both sides. And there's also some legal battle, maybe not. We'll talk about that also. Training tip of the week, we're going to continue to keep the Persona BBS Zero. I had a lot of stuff going on this week, so I was unable to make a new video for a training tip. But I do have this one up again for next week, so we're going to just leave that alone. The next one will be in the next cast. We'll have definitely a new video. I'm working on it right now, actually. And product review and a little vendor spotlight will be Mike's Natural Soaps. We've talked about them in the past. Mike's Natural Soaps is a longtime vendor, longtime artisan that's been around for a while. I'm a big fan of their products, I think, and we'll talk about them as well, a little bit about the history and my history with Mike's. My personal history with mice as well. So you don't want to miss this cast, guys. And without further ado, let's get on with the show. All right, guys. Mongoose has come out with the Mingoose. The Mingoose, which is a slightly smaller version of its big brother. And it takes different blades, believe it or not. It takes those Schick/Persona injector blades. If you guys haven't never used a Schick injector, the blades come in like a little unique dispenser, similar to the Mongoose ones, the artisan style blades, but they're smaller, about 3/4 of the size, more of a standard size, double-edged size, and a little bit bigger than that. Big fan of these razors, big fan of Persona injectors. I think they're great. You can get a great value. They're a great value because you can get one online for roughly $10 if you really look and find one. May not look perfect, but it'll work. So Mongoose has been working with this design for a while, and it's not much different than their regular design of the regular Mongoose. You know, the aluminum and the stainless steel Mongoose 2 and all that, the new stuff that's come out in the last few years. So this one's out to engineer to those who like the smaller blades, the injector style blades. Now there's some pros and cons with this razor as well, and the only con I can see is the blade choices, because you don't have much of a choice. And that's the same thing with the regular Mongoose, is there's just not that many blades out there. With a double edge razor, you can get, there's probably 100 different types of blades. That's the only thing, the only flaw I see in this razor. The price is a little high. It's $165 or $169 or something like that. So it is a razor. It's up there in price, but I mean, we got to look at what you're getting with it. You're getting a made in USA razor. You're getting it with quality material, stainless steel, all that good stuff. It's not something that's going to not last. It's going to last. That's what I mean. It's going to last your lifetime. And if this is something that you're looking for, there are still a few left. It's only available at Maggard's right now. I left the link in the show notes here. You could click right on and get there. Again, I'm a fan of Mongoose. Remember, Mongoose razors are produced in South Florida, where I'm from. I actually got to meet Bruce, the owner and the designer of the Mongoose, once. We met and had lunch, and it was a great experience. We've talked about this on the cast and a couple of other interviews that articles that I've written regarding the Mongoose razors. I do have two of the bigger ones. I did not pick this one up yet. I'm going to wait until to see, because I am a big fan of the regular Mongoose, and I don't know if I really want that smaller blade yet. So I'm going to wait and see some reviews before I get one. But guys, I mean, if you really are looking in for a smaller goose, and you like that design, this is the one to get, because you can get those chicken injector blades. And again, there aren't that many blade selections out there, but the ones that are out there are pretty good. So, I mean, you won't go get steered wrong with this razor. So, guys, check it out at Maggard's, the Min Goose. It's here. It's ready to go. There's still some left. Check them out. So the discussion of the week is going to be, this is going to be a little bit of a real detailed discussion, because it's something that's been going on for about, maybe 100 or so years, maybe forever, who knows. But replicating classic designs, is it right or wrong? Now, recently, Yaku, however you say it, is a company that came out with a design of razor that was, it created some controversy in the wet shaving world. Not much, but I mean, it did create some. It came out with the actual dual comb design, right, guys? If you've seen that, the Grand Shave King design, which is a razor that was built, made probably in the 40s, 50s, or 60s, very, very limited production, and had that double open comb style, which made it, really they advertised as a self-lubricating razor, so it would lubricate, keep the foam, keep the cream in there, and lubricate as you shave and make it better. Great razors. I have used a regular Grand Shave King. I think they're very good quality. I mean, I think the quality is there. I think a lot of them fell apart, and a lot of people just had them as novelty gifts, so you can get lucky and get an NOS. You could probably get one for about $100 bucks online if you really look for it in mint condition. If you can find them, they're pretty rare. But also, Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements, they came out with a copy of that razor. They actually did a tribute razor about, I don't know, when they first really started. That was kind of their first razor that they came out with, one of the first ones. And now you see Yaki is coming out with one that's even cheaper than that one. And this created some issues to where, you know, a lot of people have saw online that, oh, I don't want to make it anymore. Phoenix is like, I'm not going to go and research these old designs and everything. And rightfully so. I mean, I feel his pain. He went and did all the work, found the razor, sent it out, had it made, and then somebody else just went and did the same thing. I mean, I understand where he's coming from. I could see where that could be frustrating. But also, I mean, what's stopping anybody from doing that? You know, if you think about it. Made a design, great. Sold it for several years. Did a good job with it. But unfortunately, there's no patent on the design. So, I mean, when there's no patent, you know, that's what happens. So, I guess, you know, is this right or wrong? Well, let's talk about another example of something that would probably hit us more at home before we get into that, if that's right or wrong. If you guys noticed, we just talked about Mongoose a few minutes ago. The Mongoose SE design, that was a design that was based off of basically a guy's image, right? He just thought about it, saw it. He had a Cobra SE. If you guys are unfamiliar with the Cobra, I left in the show notes a link so you can check out that razor. And that used those artist style blades. The gentleman liked the razor, right? Liked it, but felt he can do a little better with it. So he took the design and changed it and made the Mongoose razor. That's what happened. That's what we got today. That Mongoose design was completely changed over the Cobra Classic design. And they just went and said, you know what, I want to try something else, try it new, use a different material, make it a little bit more available or different, and do it my way because I like this other razor, but I think I can improve the design. So the Mongoose razor came out. And when the Mongoose came out, you know, if you guys were around then, 14, 15, everybody's going crazy, spending $500,000, $700,000 on a Mongoose on the second market because they couldn't make enough. And then you had some other companies come out with, like, copies of it. Same exact design. I even have a couple of them. I checked them out. Different material, one quarter of the price, maybe even less. I think I saw a couple of them come out for, like, $50. And some even for $20 or $25, which, you know, sold a lot. So, is that right or wrong? That's something to think about, because that's a more modern design. That gentleman made that design, didn't copy off anybody, and now is being copied off it, and now currently has a patent on the razor, and there's still issues. So, what's going on with that? What do we think? Is that something wrong to talk about? You know, is that more along the lines of, hey, somebody copied my idea, that's wrong, or is it the other way, or is the older design, or are they both wrong? So here are my thoughts, guys. First off, I want to talk about a few actual points of copying razors. One, all DE razors produced today are modifications of Gillette's original design. That's right. Every single double-edged safety razor that's produced from 1905 on, or 1904 on, that wasn't made by Gillette under that design, including Gillette's future designs, are all copies from that double ring razor. Every single one of them. So everybody has copied his design, King Gillette's design, for the last 100 years to make DE razors. So first off, that's one point I wanted to make. Patents are very expensive and do not last forever, and sometimes don't even really work, because if it's produced somewhere else, yeah, you can get in a legal battle, but what are they going to do? They'll change it around a little bit. Quality materials do make a difference. So if you try a copy, right, and then you try something else, quality materials do make a difference. So you can tell, definitely when you use it, quality materials feel different, heavier, better quality, maybe even a better performance, right? And unfortunately, it's a free market. So this market, you can do whatever you want. You can make whatever you want, do whatever you want, produce whatever you want. So let's get back to the first idea. And I know we're skipping around a little bit, but I wanted to really just go over a few things and get some the light of both sides of the story a little bit. So we have copies of something that was copied, and we're upset and we don't want to do it again. And that's okay. And I understand. Hey, look, I know that this stuff's a lot of work. You got to have a lot of respect and a lot of kudos given out to those who come up with the design first and find them. They research, they find it, they bring it back to life, they make it so we can all have it again. So yes, I'm a fan of the people that do that. And I don't want to see like guys like Doug or guys like Bruce from Mongoose get discouraged when they see this, because these guys are really doing something to make a difference. But unfortunately, there are other people that have manufacturing plants in other countries that are making, maybe better quality, less quality, cheaper, other quality to make money as well, and then selling it to the vendors. So is it right or wrong? It's a little bit of both. They really can't say much of anything. I could see the frustration from the vendors, but as a consumer, unfortunately, this is how it works. Otherwise, we would all be wearing, high quality clothes and stuff made in our own countries, because that would be, what's the point of getting it from somewhere else? Because, well, he's making it for cheaper, or this one's making it for less, or she's making it for, a quarter of the price, whatever. So all in all, what we're talking about here, guys, is just, it's just a thing that's happening. It's going to keep happening. It's been happening in the razor world forever, and it's going to continue. Some designs are going to come back, and some designs are going to get copied. The way to do it, and my advice to the vendors, is to differentiate yourself by making an identity with your product. If you come out with something like that, and you make it, and you're more money, make sure we know why it's more money. Make sure that everybody knows the quality of that product is better. And if it's not better, make it better, or make it different, or change it up a little bit, because this is going to continue to happen, guys. This is going to happen to where, you're going to go a lot. Now you have those double open comb designs, and you have them on like three websites plus eBay from different companies now. When, years ago, it was just the Grand Shave King, which they made maybe, a handful of them practically compared to today's quantity, with a great design. You had PAA come out with it for years. It was a great quality product. He made different versions of it. He went and did the homework and made it out. And then somebody just goes and basically says, hey, I can make one too and make it cheaper. I can see where it's coming from. Definitely. It is a little rough. But unfortunately, there's nothing we can really do about it except one thing. Differentiate yourself from the competition. Make it better. Make it different. Be there. So to you razor makers and inventors and those who bring back designs from the past, guys, my advice is don't stop doing that, but my advice is try to make more of an identity and try and change it around and make yourself really stand out, and you will win, because the world needs this kind of stuff. The world needs entrepreneurs. It needs designs to be brought back from the past. So to all of you that have done that, so we salute you. To all of you that have copied that, well, you know what, you saw an opportunity and made it happen. So kudos to you as well. So I hope this conversation had a little bit more of it was difficult to come up with this, because it's hard to come out and, I have a lot of friends in the wet shaving world, and a lot of them do this, a lot of them don't do this, a lot of them believe in it, a lot of them don't. It's really a split type thing, but I'm trying to look at it from a a neutral perspective on what the market demands and what the market is. And I think that with true customers, these copies and stuff like that are short term. I don't think they're going to be around forever, but I mean, I could be wrong. But again, everything's a copy. Everything's been modified, changed a little bit, but they're all, hey, anything using a double-edged razor is right off that one design from that first razor. And it's good. And look at the market it's created. It's created people. I mean, that one razor, the Gillette Double Ring, created jobs. It created a whole industry. It took out basically the straight razor industry. Yeah, I mean, that's right. And back then, maybe that was causing issues too. But it created all of this that we have and all of these different razors. There's hundreds and hundreds of double-edged razors out there that are based off that design and that are just, you know, still going strong. I mean, that's why this podcast is here. That's why we're here. It's because we use the different stuff, right? So, I mean, it's still going. So I know we're getting a little bit off path and, you know, we're talking a little bit. I'm rambling on a little bit about this stuff, but it really does. I can see where it's really hurting and affecting people. And also how morals can seem to be violated and how there might be some legal issues. Unfortunately, I don't think there are any legal issues. But all I have to say again is advice is keep going, guys. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward. And the best thing to do if you don't like those products and don't support them is don't buy them. That's the best thing to do is just don't buy them. That's the way to get back at them. If you're that much against it and you don't want to any part of it, don't buy it and just don't advertise it and you'll be fine. And then you'll see what happens. The market will dictate itself, right? All right, so let's move on with the next actual part of the podcast. A little bit more of a positive note. I know it's a little bit difficult talking about that stuff, and it is. But let's talk about Mike's Natural Soaps. Now, I have a little bit of a history with Mike's Natural Soaps first. Mike's soap was first made, I remember when he was making it in Brooklyn. I think he was a student. I forgot what college or whatever. I think I messaged him a couple times back in like 2011 or so. But yeah, it was he was making soap when he was in school in Brooklyn. And I believe he's been making soap since 2009. When I got in the game around that time, 2010, I remember there were maybe a handful of artisan soap makers, if that many. And Mike's was very highly regarded. So this was my first artisan wet shaving purchase. I remember I was very excited. You know, I just started getting in the game a little bit. Didn't know what I was doing. I tried safety razors, straight razors. Tried sharpening straight razors with a knife sharpener. It was a mess, okay? Got onto some forums. Back then it was Badger and Blade and Straight Razor Place. And that was basically it. I think the Shaved End was around shortly after around that time as well, but with less members. So really it was Badger and Blade and Straight Razor Place. And I would go on there and look at soaps. And I remember seeing Mike's Natural Soaps being not advertised but being talked about. And going online, checking out his website, which is very similar to the way it is now. I'm actually on it now. And it doesn't look much different than it did back then. Very, very similar. Maybe a little different. And I remember buying a soap. It was back then. He sold them in the actual bricks. You bought them in a brick, or you could buy them in a tin. But I think it was just bricks at the time. And I bought one, and I used it all up, and then I bought another one. So I've bought a couple of these. It's just a nostalgic thing. Every time I smell that Mike's Barbershop, it just reminds me of the beginning of wet shaving, right for me. That and the natural soap. He had an unscented. I remember he had nothing else in stock. I bought the unscented anyway, and that scent too also reminds me of the beginning of like my wet shaving journey, I guess. So a couple things about the performance of the soap. Spot on performance. The scents are very, they're not overbearing. They're very subtle. They're very natural smelling. So, I mean, if you smell one of his soaps, like the rosemary smells like real rosemary, like a seared rosemary almost, right? The barbershop has some great scents going on there. It's just like some powdery, kind of like musky type scent that's really pleasant. And there's like a peppermint scent that smells just like peppermint. I mean, this stuff does smell just like what it says. Very, very, I mean, Mike's Natural Soaps, natural ingredients. Because it smells just like if you went to like the store and you picked up some peppermint and smelled it. It would just, that's what the soap smells like. Performance is spot on. Probably one of the better soaps out there. It's the lather is just endless. It does not take very much time to load. Doesn't take a lot of water to load. And evenly covers and makes, I mean, every time I use it, there's a lot of shea butter in it. Makes my face feel really soft, really, really moisturized. I mean, it's a great soap. Unfortunately, there's no aftershave or anything like that. He just makes soap. He makes the pucks, and he makes jars now, I think. So if you're looking for just the soap, this is it. I don't use aftershaves because in my profession I really can't. Because, well, you know, if you guys know, if any of you in the wine business know, when you're smelling wine and stuff like that, aftershave can inhibit your smell and can ruin it. So that's what's something that you don't want to have on. So I just use regular soaps. I usually lightly scented soaps if possible. So highly recommend Mike's Natural. I've been using them for, 8 years now. So I've been using his soaps for 8 years, and it's always been in my rotation. I always have a puck of it. They are available at his own shop. At Mike's Natural Soaps.com, and also he has several vendors that he distributes to, so you can check them out as well, guys. So, and you know what? He's a great guy to talk to as well. Mike at Mike's Natural Soap.com. You can email him and he'll get back to you. Sometimes there's a little bit stock issue. It's like, you know, it's really a hit or miss when you hit the site, but it's been a lot better lately, I've noticed. But I mean, I do highly recommend it. I think the lather is spot on. I think everything really about these soaps are great. And I think the company still, you know, for him to be around 8 years or 9 years now, I think that's really impressive for an artisan. Because, you know, the average artisan I've seen hanging around about 2 years, 2 to 4 years. And then they're like, they kind of go off. You kind of don't see them anymore. I mean, it's a tough business to be into. So, Mike's Natural Soaps, we salute you here at the podcast. Great job. Keep it up. I hope you're listening. If not, somebody let him know. Because he does make a good product and we do like it. All right, guys, and that wraps it up. I'm sorry that we didn't have so much stuff this week. Next week we will be having a little bit more. There's going to be a new video coming out, right? We'll have a new video in the near future. We're also going to have another vendor to talk about. We're going to have some more reviews and stuff. We're going to try and do that every week. I'm going to try and also introduce at least one video a week as well, and do a couple a month because now I've got my new phone. It works great. Hey, I'm really happy with it, guys. Also, if you want to take that survey, I put it back online. So the survey, surveymonkey.com, there's a link in the show notes. Check it out. Let me know what you think about the cast. Guys, one thing for all of you that did is about 40 people that have already done it. Thank you very, very much because I appreciate the feedback. A lot of positive feedback, a lot of stuff that I've been working on. If you haven't noticed, you know, try and get this cast a little bit better for the listeners. But I really appreciate all the feedback and all of the time that you guys put into that survey. So thank you very much. I put it back on, so if you want to check it out, please check it out. Remember, our show is powered by Sharpologist.com. What your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, and guys, most of all, you, the listeners, because without you, there'd be no podcast at all. So don't forget to check out my blog at ShaveStraightAndSafe.com. And also, please feel free to contact me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. Check out my YouTube channel as well with some new videos coming up. And if you're interested in in sponsoring an episode, or if you're a vendor and you have some samples you'd like to give away, hey, just contact me via email. Guys, as always, shave straight and shave safe, and I will see you on the 15th of April. Bye-bye now.